If we want to avoid colder, older shoulder, the best way I know is being anchored in the love, spirit, and wisdom of God. No one is perfect. This world itself is not perfect. And God deliberately designed it that way. Because if it is perfect, nobody will want to go back home. I mean, it's a known fact when we're having a great time of our lives, we don't think of other things. We don't want that good time to end. And it is never too late to start anchoring ourselves in, because when we do, everything will start getting better. That's why the saints, they rarely make mistakes. Not because they are wiser than the rest of us, but because the Spirit of God is guiding them every time. They listen. It doesn't mean we can't take initiatives. It just means when we take that initiative, we've already invited God in to lead us. And wherever God leads you, and you do what God wants, you can never regret it. We make mistakes because our life is not perfect. The wisdom we use is not is a human wisdom. It's not God's wisdom. And yet we want to fix it. And yet we have the regrets. Older, I hear a lot of people use the phrase. If I could do it all over again, or I should have done it differently, or I wonder what my life would have been like if only I had done this. Probably we're talking about lost dreams, missed opportunities. Or you buy something that says, oh, if I knew it was going to turn out like this, I wouldn't have done it. I'm talking about myself here. It's hanging on the wall as an example for me to see. The colder, older, shoulder syndrome can make our life very difficult to live. Because we're always looking backwards. And it makes it difficult for us to pay attention to the present and to learn. And so when it makes our life difficult, it not only put a bind on the present, it mortgages the future altogether. So there's no forward movement. And we should know this, because it's a known fact that by definition, our inborn nature isn't subject to change. If you're a loving person, no amount of outside influence will change your basic nature. It may twist it where sometimes, whether just being loving all the time because people are giving you a hard time. Why are you so loving? Why can't you just stand your own ground? So if you listen to those outsiders, instead of you living in that loving presence all the time, because now you're trying to please them. But then you find the tumor. There's a conflict in your nature. Your nature wants to be loving, but you're hearing others. And then how can you be happy? How can there be peace? So our inborn nature isn't subject to change. If you are not meant to know math and be good at math, I mean, they will teach you, you will know some, but it won't be the same as the one whose natural ability is. You can acquire something through being taught. But somebody who it is natural for them, when they teach them again, I mean, they will excel more than the person who just acquired. But someone whose natural nature is there, if they won't listen to the guidance of spirit, then they cannot truly excel. I would rather take somebody who has learned it because they are committed than somebody whose nature it is, but they didn't allow it to grow. But if the one who has that natural one allows it to grow, then you can always see the difference, and I will accept it. As the saints have said, the light of God is evenly distributed. But in some human or men, it is more apparent than others, because those people tune in into God and they reflect His light more clearly, not because they are better off. So the material and the spiritual are but two parts of one universe and one truth. They are not different. By overstressing one part of the other or the other, human fails to achieve the balance necessary for harmonious development. And that's where our issues are. That's where the mistakes come. We want good health, we want money, we want relationship, we want all of these things. There's nothing wrong with it. Those are material. But we do not know that to have good health, we should listen to that spirit in us. When he tells you, don't eat that, don't drink that. Oh, I like this. Then you keep eating, you keep drinking it. Down the line, then illness shows up. It's better to prevent it than to try and cure it. When that spirit says, don't date that person. Oh, she's very beautiful. He's fine. Well, we know what comes out of that, because spirit knows that this person is not compatible. Maybe they are too bombastic for you or narcissistic. Well, you see the cover, but you don't know what is on the inside. And then things shows up. Or they say, oh, that's the one for you. Say, oh, he's not attractive. He's not my type. I don't know, the way he talks funny, he has an accent, or whatever it is. Later on, something nudges you and you feel, okay, maybe I will overlook her shortcomings or his shortcomings, only to find out, oh, this is the one for me. And it is a known fact that our desires and things we really want, we pray for, might actually be our enemy. Because if God has a better plan for you and you keep insisting this is what you want, well, God will let you have what you want. And then you find out, yeah, you might get something out of it, but it doesn't go as far as you think. So if we don't want to do kulda, wulda, shuda, we should always listen to that spirit. But to listen to that spirit, you have to meditate. You have to open yourself up in devotion, in prayer, in worship. Because it is in that discipline that you really get anchored. And because when you are meditating, you are asking the spirit of God, come and dwell with me. Come and dwell in this vessel. And he will. If you are consistent and you mean it. Not because meditating, because others, meditation is cool. I think a few years ago, all of a sudden, it begins to be the trend where people will fast throughout the day. I mean, they'll drink water, but I think they call it intermittent fasting. They say, oh, it does this, does this. He's been doing it for centuries. The first time I read it was from the guy who started Twitter, not the one who bought it. And people were raving about it. And they say, well, I say, oh, I do intermittent fasting. And because of that, it helps my work. I'm able to go into meditation. And now it just took off. And I'm thinking, seriously? What did they think the disciples of Jesus were doing after Jesus left his body? They were doing intermittent fasting. What do they think Lent is about? So we need that balance. We need to invite spirit in, and we need to listen to spirit because it's evenly distributed with us. And we should be very careful because there are various outward factors that over time can alter or revamp our programming. And these externalities are what can change both how we see things and act on them. If you do not trust that spirit in you and you trust something outside of you, well, good luck with that. If you trust your friend more than the spirit of God in, even if you trust your father or mother more than the spirit of God in, good luck with that. Because you will run into the same limitation that your mother and father ran into. And if you trust your spiritual teacher or guru more than the spirit of God in you, good luck with that. Because that spiritual teacher or guru cannot change you. They cannot tell you what God hasn't told them. That's why any good teacher, any guru will tell you, pay attention to God. Because it's not everything God reveals to them. So if you trust them more than the God in you, because they will tell you, the God you are not trusting is the one I turn to. Before I continue, I'll give you a story of Yogananda. He wanted to embark on some spiritual expansion to spread the word. This is 1925. How many of us were here in 1925? And he only had $200 in the bank. I'm sure that $200 now compared here would be thousands. But he knew that was not even going to start. It wouldn't even be anything they can start it. So his secretary came. And he told his secretary, because they are preparing for this, he's determined. Well, he said, well, this is what we have. According to him, the secretary almost passed out because they're, oh, we're going to go to jail because we can't pay our bills. How are we going to do all of you who can't pay our bills? Some of you have heard this version of this story. Now look at this. His secretary, who is his disciple, trusts him instead of putting the trust in God. Well, his guru, Yogananda, trusts God because there's no other one can provide. So he gave it to God. He said, Lord, you know, I'm not doing this for my own benefit. I'm doing it to spread what you call me to do. And this is what it's not going to even start anything. So he left the hotel. As he stepped out walking, the old woman came to him, saw him, said, oh, excuse me, can I talk? Can I have a talk with you? He said, yes, and they were talking. And the old woman said, well, I have money that I want to burn, you know. Say, I'd like to give you money. Said, no, why would you want to give me money? You don't even know me. The old woman said, oh, I've heard about you. So in other words, I know you. I heard about you. So at that time, at that moment, I think Yogananda knew this is the divine spirit. And what did the woman do? She issued him a check for $27,000. That's different from $200, which pretty much was. At that moment, he knew. He thanked the woman. Now his disciple, the secretary, almost passed out now. He wasn't passing out. He trusted the guru. The guru trusted God. So what do you think he learns from that? Telling the say, depend on God. It is a bad teacher or guru tells the person to depend on them. Because it will be the blind leading the lame. They will all fall in the garden. Nothing can take the place of God. You don't want to make mistakes. You don't want to do cool that, wood that, shoot that. You put that trust in God. You trust that spirit in you. And listen to it, because it's one thing to trust it. If you are not listening to it, then it's just talk. Yes, of course. You could have done this, or you should have done that. And of course, would have done it differently. Huh? Because that's what we say to him. If I know now, I would have done it differently. But the cold, hard truth is that you did not. That's the point. Otherwise, you won't be going back. As Søren Kierkegaard is a Danish philosopher. Some of you may know about him, some of you may not. This is what he famously concluded. Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward. Do we get this? Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward. You understand things after it's happened. So shaking in your boots, thinking, don't let that be. If you trust in God, you do it, even though you might not know how it ends. But then when you see the result, you say, just like Yogananda did, this is the spirit of God. Do we get what it says there? Life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forward. You can't say because you don't want to make mistake, you won't take action. You won't meditate. Whatever excuses you give, that's not going to cut it. Any inaction keeps us from achieving our goals. That is just the point. So unless you can do time travel treatment or ritual, or like Star Wars or people do that, that's the only time you can, you know, because people keep looking backwards. You can't go back in time and change anything. unless you can do those rituals. Constantly looking back only makes it harder to move forward. Like some of you have heard, I've also heard that regret is one of the frequent non-physical concerns for the emotional well-being of the elderly. And you don't have to be elderly to be trapped in that. Because as they advance in age, oh, maybe I shouldn't have disciplined my child like that. Well, you can change it. It's already happened. But you can now try to transform it. Every children need discipline. But the discipline must be applied according to their nature, not according to what you want. Because if there's no discipline, boundaries, you are not doing that child any favor. Because they learn from us what we should do. Don't stick your finger in the electric outlet. If you don't say that, how will they know? Then they stick it and then they get electrocuted. Now, whose fault is that? For that baby? No, it is your fault as an adult, as the parent. Even God gave us boundaries. Don't do that because that's where evil lurks. Well, you won't say God didn't tell you, but if you choose to say, well, I don't care. I want to see evil eye to eye. Well, good luck with that. God might save you later on, but you will know. Isn't there a story in Yogananda, when Yogananda was here, where one of his disciples said he doesn't believe in Satan, that he just all made up, and then Satan showed up there and was looking for him. He didn't go after the other disciples. And if not for God's grace through Yogananda, where he would be toasted. He truly knew that Satan is an energy, is an entity, does exist. It's energy of darkness, but under the guidance of light. Because it's also an instrument of God. So it's not only the elderly that has that regret. So then what then is the alternative? Live your life perfectly, right? Do everything you've ever wanted to do and never experience regret, right? Some will say that, well, good luck with that. That is a good solution, except for the small fact that is virtually impossible. If the world is not perfect, how can you who lived in the world be perfect? Like Yogananda said, this is God's drama. He knowingly made it like this. Let me repeat that. What then is the alternative? Live your life perfectly, do everything you've ever wanted to do, and never experience regret, right? That is a good solution, except for the small fact that it's virtually impossible. As long as we are breathing, we are faced with an infinite amount of choices each day, aren't we? Nobody gets them all correct until you are fully anchored in God and you invite God in. Then the Spirit of God will guide you. Don't do that. And also, you are compliant. You listen, you obey. Because Spirit tells us, don't do that. I say, okay, Lord. And then we'll go ahead and do it anyway. And then we'll find out what's happening. So knowing this, how rational does it sound to upset yourself over one decision? Not very rational at all. Because there are so many other things that comes to your life. Whether we like it or not, life brings us additional experiences daily, isn't it? Every day, we don't know what's going to happen. So if you, because of one mistake you've made, you go into that regret, you mortgage yourself and all of that. How is that for a living, huh? Even if your decision causes you pain and discomfort, it's only temporary. I mean, sometimes people make decisions that reverberate throughout their lives. But even that's temporary, because eventually you will die. That ends that. And maybe during that time, you've made amends. However, if someone only thinks in absolutes, I have to make the right, perfect decision, anything else would be terrible, unacceptable. There are some people who try to live like that. Then that person is almost certainly setting themselves up for failure. Because the only one who can do absolute is God, not even the saints. There's a lot of unnecessary pressure that we put on ourselves, that environment and all of that. Because we want to be like the Joneses, you know. That alone puts pressure on us. There's a lot of unnecessary pressure. However, let's say that same person approaches the same task thinking, I make thousands of decisions each day. It's not within human limitation to get them all right. Therefore, I will make a decision knowing that I can endure the consequences. If you are ready to deal, then you are ready to take. That is the point. You can't give what you don't have. Don't they say, if you can dish it out, you should be able to take it? So somebody will say, well, I don't mind. I'll make my decision. Yeah, I'll bear the consequences. Do any of you remember the story of the grandmaster? Because he put himself, if he were listening to the Spirit, he wouldn't do all those things he was doing. He put himself in that. He never thought things would turn against him, right? And then when he did, well, he said, I want you to do this. Like, no, the brotherhood of light, they are protecting you. I can. What did he wanted that power. Even when he know, then he would be made a slave spiritually until he pays it. Say, I don't care. I bet you now he cares. Because he's able to dish it out. Now when they are dishing it out to him, I'm sure he can take it. Because when things turn around, can he take it? No. He was so caught up in that energy, knowing, forgetting that the power belongs to God. For those of you who know those stories, you know what I'm talking about. Don't let the perfect, some of you have heard this, or most of us, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Perfect is the enemy of the good, is a saying, which means insistence on perfection often prevents implementation of good improvement, says Voltaire. One of the basic rules of the universe is that nothing is perfect. Whether we listen to it or not, perfection simply doesn't exist. Without imperfection, neither you nor I will exist. Because why would God create you? So go and enjoy what I have, you know? You learn something, grow. They said this world is God's drama. Even though I believe it, but it's hard to accept sometimes, isn't it, when you see the injustice and unfair and the killing. So perhaps we need a new outlook on these decisions instead of trying to be perfect. Maybe instead of right and wrong or perfect and horrible, because it's like black and white. We go from either A or Z. A decision should be a little more flexible. We are not going to be 100% satisfied after every decision in life. That's just it. However, we often react as if we expect to be, knowing that there's always going to be what ifs. How many times have we had that? What if? Sounds like one of these TV shows. What would you do? What ifs? No matter what you do may help you to make a choice. Understand, let us understand that sometimes we don't have all the answers. That's the point. And unless God reveals it to us, we don't know. So, because the reason we don't, what we are striving for is happiness, isn't it? That inner calmness and peace. And the best route to happiness and inner tranquility that I need is to let bygone be bygone. We've heard that expression. I remember as a kid when I hear bygone be bygone, then I run, let bygone be bygone, let bygone be bygone. But we can say let bygone be bygone, of course, only after taking away as many valuable lessons from them as possible. Because if we do not learn from that, we're open to repeat them again, isn't it? So you let bygone be bygone after you've learned the lessons that you bring. Sometimes we let things go crooked so that we can learn and grow. God is in control. Let's never forget that. Sometimes these things happen, we don't know why they happen. But once we're immersed in God and we begin to be fully realized, then we will see what God sees, why God allowed things to happen. Otherwise, we can only go and then it really beats us. Making a bad decision doesn't make you a bad person, nor does it make you incompetent. Because that's what we think. Oh, gosh, I did it again. What about things you've done well before? Do you even remember that? Why don't you? Do you even give thanks to God? Oh, thank you for letting me do great things. Why do we always focus on the bad side of things? How are we going to learn? Just because you do doesn't make you incompetent. It doesn't make you a bad person. It's just the teaching moment. We've heard that expression. So how can you go to college if you didn't go to pre-K and kindergarten, elementary school and high school? There are things you learn from there. So let me repeat that. Making a bad decision doesn't make you a bad person, nor does it make you incompetent. You are still the same person, no more, no less. The same person who came up with great creativity, who did something wonderful. You are still the same person. Life itself is dark and shadow, light and shadow, you know? Remember during the summertime when we walk on the street, we see our shadow, right? So instead of beating ourselves up for that, no, don't do that. Whatever you and I do, whatever you do, happening on a bad decision can only lead to a bad case of colder, wolder, shoulder, isn't it? Because if you dwell on something you didn't do, oh, I should have done this. And how is that working out for you? Medical science has yet to synthesize a cure for wolder, colder, shoulder. I'm still waiting for the scientists to do a research and bring up, you know. The only medicine I know of is acceptance that you are a fallible human being. If you accept that you will make mistakes. You are not perfect. The world is not perfect. And if you can, then we will live a peaceful and happy life. As Jim Taylor forcefully puts it in his book, Personal Growth, Wolder, Colder, Shoulder. He actually wrote that book. Good things don't always happen when we take action. But more good things happen when we go for it than when we run from it. So we shouldn't let mistakes we make keep us from going forward and taking action. Now, if you are fully anchored in God through meditation and all of that, you will actually thank God for what you called mistakes, because it opens up your eyes. It opens you up for more blessings from God. May our soul and spirit never depart from that blessings. Christ, amen.
Amen.